considered child labor?
Pastor here. It's so good to have you guys here with us on this Sunday after Christmas here as we wrap up this series called Carols. And it's just been so cool to go through these songs. And the best part of it for me is I've sat like almost for hours just watching videos of these songs, just absorbing the words and absorbing the message and just letting God kind of speak to me through them. And it has just been overwhelming. For me, and let me just tell you on the flip side of that, because God's been working so so great in these songs in my life, the opposite has been true too, that Satan has gone to work, and it's been an up and down month, even though it's been a time of focusing in on these incredible songs about the birth of Christ. It's been even just kind of wilder to watch how Satan has tried to pull out all kinds of stops. And really, in a lot of cases, it's been in your lives that he has done that. And so, you know, just in kind of helping and praying and doing all the things that I feel physically I can do for you and spiritually I can do for you, it's been overwhelming. And but in the same time, God has been so good. And so my prayer for us today as we kind of wrap up this series is that we'll see how good God is. Is he good? Amen. He is good. And so by the time we finish today, I hope that I don't just get a yes from you, that I get a cheer from you. Because he is that good. And today is a song that we look at titled, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." And it's the song that you just heard. It's the song that we sing so often. And let me just tell you, there are, if you go to YouTube and you search "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel" videos, there are all kinds of artists that do it. If you saw my Facebook page yesterday, I even put one on there for my metalhead friends. If you're a metalhead and you like to bang your head, there is a version of "O Come, Emmanuel" just for you, and you can go find it there. But it's it was pretty interesting. But just to be able to hear these words and to just soak it in about the fact of what Emmanuel means. And today I want us to really focus in. We focus in on phrases for the most part. Today we're going to focus in on a word, on a name. And it's that word, that name, Emmanuel. If you're taking notes, Emmanuel means God with us. Say that with me. Say God with us. God with us. Say God is with us. Say it again. God is with us. Right. He is with us. And we need to be able to say that confidently. And so my prayer is that by the time we finish, that will be the way that you're able to do. That's where that cheer will come from, because you'll realize that he really is with us. We're going to dig down into this song. "O Come, Emmanuel" is a little bit different than the ones we've looked at. We don't really know exactly where and when this song was written. We do know that it was written somewhere between the 8th and 12th century. So it's an old one. It's been around for a long time. And during this era, in the church, a lot of times what they would do is they would sing or chant phrases that began with "O," and then they would read a psalm. And then they would sing a song or chant a phrase that began with "O," and then they would read a psalm. And so somewhere in amongst all that is where this song, "O Come, Emmanuel," comes from. And so we learn about this by just digging down into it and really studying what it means. We have this phrase, Emmanuel, God is with us. And we need to be able to understand it and pull it apart and be able to do it. I mean, let me just ask. This is where you get to participate, okay? Have you ever prayed a prayer that started out, God be with us? You ever pray that, you know, God be with me. God be with us as we travel. You ever prayed that kind of prayer? Yeah, five of you. Yeah, that's the way. The rest of you, I don't know what you pray. But God be with us. God be with me as I go on the road, as we travel to grandma's house, right? Be with us. Keep us safe. Be with us so, you know, be with my kids. They don't kill each other. Be with me that I don't kill them. You know, God be with us, right? Yeah, come on, parents. You know you prayed it. You know, this is a safe place. Nobody's calling DSS on you. So here's the thing, God be with us, because somebody's liable to get their head pulled off, you know. God be with us. We're going to the mall today. You know, you go to the Albemarle Mall, also known as Walmart, it is a crazy place, you know. You know, there's just all kinds of stuff going on there. We see what happened at the mall in Charlotte. You know, you go shopping and man, something happens, and next thing you know, somebody's pulled out a gun, and it's just crazy. So God be with us. When we go shopping, God be with us as we do the things that we do. God be with us. This is, you know, the prayer that so many girls have prayed about Pastor Gabe. God be with us. Be with me as I go on this date. This guy won't be a psycho, right? He's not here. I can pick on him today. No, be praying for Pastor Gabe. He's actually speaking at a church in Winston today, and it's so cool that we get to send him off. That's cool. See, y'all got that one a little bit. I love the fact that we get to be part of other ministries, and so he's out. He's ministering today at another church, and that's so cool. But you know, we pray all kinds of things. God be with me when I do this or when I do that. And so the fact is we ask for God to be with us. I think so many times we forget that he is already with us. And so I want to remind us about what that means. I want us to look today, beginning in Matthew chapter 1. And we look at a phrase that we, in a piece of scripture of the Christmas story that helps us understand the fact that he is, this is God with us. This is where it comes from. Matthew 1, beginning in verse 21, says this: "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You know what? I could read that, and I could pray, and we could go on that one. Because Jesus came to do what? To save us. To save his people from our sins. That's why he came. He came to save us. That's an incredible announcement. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's why we do what we do, because Jesus came to save us from our sins. We need to hear that very loudly. And we need to begin to ask ourselves, what does that mean to me? Many of us in the room maybe have accepted that, and we've made that part of us. We've pulled that into our lives. We've allowed him to be Lord of our lives. But what does it really mean to understand that Jesus came to save his people from their sins? Verse 22 says, "All this took place to fulfill what the prophet, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet." 740 years or so, that's a lot of time, but some 700 years before his birth, the prophet Isaiah foretold of the coming of the Savior, that there would be this Messiah born. And so here is Matthew quoting the scripture, and he says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Matthew was reminding the people about the fact that Isaiah had prophesied so long ago that this baby would be born. You know, if this was a movie, this is where you would hear the music would ramp up and the bass would kind of thump like, dun, 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 dun. You know, here he is. He's God with us. This fact that he's come to be our Savior, to come and save us from our sin. The baby wasn't just born to stay in the manger. There was way more to this child than what was beginning with his birth. He was telling some news that would be earth-shattering to so many people. And this was a big deal to hear that God is with us, that this baby who had been talked about and foretold so long ago was now here. See, the people then had believed that God was so holy. He was too holy for them. That they couldn't have this relationship with him, that there was, you couldn't look upon him. You couldn't see him. That you couldn't even be in his presence. We know that Moses had to turn away when the presence of the Lord went by. We know that when they built the temple, that God dwelt in the temple, and that only a priest, the high priest, could go in once a year. And even when he went in, they had to tie a rope to him in case there was something, you know, that there was something in his life, and because of that he would be struck dead immediately, and they could drag him out by the rope. I mean, God was holy, and he was this to them, this God who they couldn't have a relationship with, that they couldn't be close to, that they couldn't interact on a personal level, that there was so much more to him. And here Matthew was saying, he's here, that this baby is born. He is with us. is what Matthew is proclaiming to them. Well, what is it that made the shepherds run back rejoicing and telling other people? What was it that caused the wise men to fall on their face and bow down in worship? It was the fact that God wasn't distant anymore. But now he had come close. He was there amongst them. God was with them. God's not something that someone that just watches over. He's not just someone who could look down from a distance, but now he was right there in their presence. That's a big change. That's a big difference. It's like, you know, if you've ever gotten to meet someone famous and you've seen them on the movie screen and they're always up on the screen and you see them there and it's almost as if they're not a real person, but then, you know, something happens and you get to go to a place and you run into them. You see your favorite athlete. You see them on the field all the time and on TV, but then all of a sudden, you know, now you find yourself face to face with them. You know, there's this difference. Because now they're a real person. Now there's a connection. Here's Jesus, the God of the universe, the sustainer of life, the giver of life, this incredible being, this man that is now there. Man, what an incredible story and an incredible way to say it. John had said in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word of God became flesh and it dwelt among us. There was this time where now he was no longer just the Word. Now he was flesh in the presence of the people. There was something amazing about this. We pray, God, be with us. Listen, Jesus was with them. He had come in flesh and was there amongst them. Matthew is going to say this. He says, God is with you. He's with us, right? He's with you. He was with us, and he will be with us. There's more to this story than just being this God out there that we can't really connect with, but now he's here, and we can connect with him. Some of you are having a hard time with that, though. Because there's probably, if we're all honest, there's probably some people in the room that maybe don't even believe God exists. That maybe he's just not real. And you're saying, Ron, but you're telling me that this God is with me? That he's Emmanuel, he's God with me, but you know what? I don't even believe in God. How can I believe in Jesus and all that? Listen, I'm glad you're here. Because I believe that as we kind of dig down through this, that you're going to see that he is real. And that he is with you. Some of us are Christians, and we've been saying, you know what? I don't feel God right now. I don't get the goosebumps anymore. I don't feel the tinglies when we talk about him. I don't feel, you know, I don't get all emotional when we sing about him or I hear someone preach about him. It just doesn't affect me. I believe in him. I've accepted him, but you know what? I just don't feel him. Listen, I hope by the time we're done today that you realize that it's not about how you feel. That he is who he is, whether we feel it or not. And that comes out of where we are, not where he is. We need to understand that he's here. Some of us are at a difficult spot. There's some stuff going on. There's some tough things going on. You know, I really believe that this time of year is a magnifier of where we are spiritually. The holidays bring about these real views of us. If we're at a good place, the holidays, man, they magnify the fact that we're at a good place with God. But if we're at a bad place, they magnify where we are, and they really reveal the fact that we're struggling in our spiritual lives. For some of us, if we're hurting and there's pain from whatever's going on, the holidays seem to magnify that pain. And so we need to be able to understand during these times that he's not somewhere else, he's here. Listen, there's a lot of people, and for some reason I've really felt the emphasis of this. There's a lot of people this year that have an empty spot around them. Whether they've had someone very close die, whether they've had a divorce, whether they've had whatever, you know, a child's moved away or whatever. I've just been so keenly aware of how many people have lost somebody they love in this time. And listen, it's easy to look at those situations, those difficult times, and say, where's God? Where is he? He's got to be somewhere around here, but I sure don't see him or feel him. I don't see him working in these situations. Some of you are here and say, you know what? I've done something in my life that I'm completely ashamed of. I've done something that I know that if people around me knew it, they wouldn't have anything to do with me. Listen, you need to understand that when you find yourself there, it's easy to say, you know what? I don't need to ask where God is because I know he's not going to be here. Because of what I've done in my life, he's not going to be around me. But you don't know the God that I know. And you need to understand today that he is God with us and that he can be there with you. We need to be able to ask ourselves these questions. Where is God? Who is he in my life? And how do I allow him to just show his presence? We're going to look through these phrases today, and I hope my prayer is that we just begin to see that he is with us. And if you're taking notes, that's the first place that I want us to see what God with us means. It's that God is with you. You need to hear that loud and clear today, that God is with you, whether you're in a relational mess, whether you're in a financial mess, whether you're in a job mess, whatever your mess may be, that God is with you, that he is there. Luke 1, verse 28, the angel came to Mary and he said, and this is what it says, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." That very first truth the angel proclaims is what she needed to know because he was about to ask her to do something very difficult. And I love the fact that the Lord is with you. We need to understand that he's with us. You know, sometimes we take on things and handle things a lot better because of who's with us, don't we? I mean, you know what I'm... You ever been in a situation where things, you were by yourself and you didn't want to take it on, but then somebody comes along beside you and you're ready to go after it? I mean, you know, I told you the story last week about my buddy, or a couple weeks ago about my buddy that showed up, you know, and I felt a lot more comfortable with him there with me because he was 6'4" and about 240 pounds and mean as a snake. And so I was good to go when he was with me. But we all find ourselves. When we find out that we've got somebody with us, we are a lot more likely to be able to take things on. A few years back, my family was able to go to Tweetsie. Anybody ever, you ever been to Tweetsie? If you haven't been there, you should go. It's just kind of really cool. Even if you're old and whatever, just go and hang out. It's kind of fun for old people too. I'm talking to me, y'all. I'm not, anyway. So it's so fun. I had a great time. But we took our girls, and my daughter Allie, who's now 12, you know, she realized that she was just not afraid of anything. And she would just hop on any old ride and whatever. And of course, guess who had to ride with her? And so I know there's still fingerprints left in some of those bars on a couple of those things. But anyway, so we ride this thing. Well, she decides that she wants to ride the Ferris wheel, right? And so I said, you know, maybe we should go ride the bumper cars. You know, maybe we should go do this. Because see, what I didn't tell her was that I had never ridden a Ferris wheel before. And so I said, you know, and she was like, no, she was adamant. And we were going to ride the Ferris wheel. So I go and I hop on the Ferris wheel, scared to death, didn't know what to expect from it. And, you know, that first time over the top was, you know, kind of scary, you know. So and just to say, if you've ever been up there, it kind of feels like it's throwing you off the mountain. And so I rode this Ferris wheel and just took it like a champ. Nobody ever knew I was scared to death because after a couple times around, it was good. I was good to go. Well, fast forward 2 years, all right. My family goes back to Tweetsie. We take the girls up there. And so this time, I find out that somebody else in my family has never ridden a Ferris wheel. And so it was my wife, Kelly. And so I said, hey, you know, let's do it together. I'm with you. You know, I'll be with you. And so she, you know, finally I get her to get on the Ferris wheel, and it, you know, I'd like to say it went pretty good, but let me just show you how it went.
So here she is. She's really enjoying it.
Hello, there we go. Jesus.
Here she is. She's still holding it all down.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord of Jesus.
Oh. And up we go.
Okay,
and back down we go.
Stop.
Just in case you're wondering how my New Year's going to go, it's probably not good. But anyway, so you know, had she been by herself, she'd have never done it. But because I was with her, and I was really just there more for the fun. But you know, she never knew that 2 years before I was scared to death to get on the thing too. You know, but when we have somebody with us, we're so much more likely to do that, and so I'm hoping that somebody will be with me after the service in case she gets me, because I park out back, and I'm afraid she's going to be waiting on me out there. But anyway, the thing about this is that God is with us whatever we do, whatever we go through, that God is with us. There is a comfort that comes from that. Some of you are hurting right now. You're going through some difficult times this year, and you're hurting. But here's what you need to understand, that God is with you, that he's there for you. The scripture says that God is the God of comfort for us. And that word comfort in the Greek is, the word that it comes from is parakletos. And para meaning alongside, and kleto meaning called to, and our God comes alongside of us. He is there to be our comforter. And you need to understand that he's with you whatever you go through. He's there to minister to you in your times of trouble. And I can't think of a more beautiful picture than to understand that no matter what comes our way, no matter how difficult life may be, no matter how much we love somebody and we lose them, no matter what comes along, that he is there to comfort us in the most difficult things. I got to tell you that it's one of those facts that I just don't believe most of us believe. Because I see how we respond. I'm talking to myself. Sometimes we take that on, and we know that he's there, but we don't allow him to be who he's meant to be in our lives. We don't understand that God with us means that he is my comforter, that he will hold me no matter how tough life gets. He will hold you. When you're hurting and you feel alone, he is there to be your friend. When you're in the middle of a trial, he's there to be your comforter. When you're sick, he's there to be your healer. Whenever you're weak, he's there to be your strength. Whenever you're lost in sin, he's there to be your savior. He's there for you, and he is there with you. Say, God is with us. Say it again. God is with us. He is with us. You're taking notes. The second thing we want to look at is that God was with us. God was with us. In the past, I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to look back over your life in the rearview mirror. It's a lot easier to look back over that and see God in there with you in the moment, isn't it? It's really difficult to see him there with you while you're going through some things, but when you look back in that mirror, man, it's a whole lot easier to see him at work. You look back over the events and it's like, man, I don't know how I would have made that if God hadn't been there with me. I could tell you story after story after story, just knowing that he was there with me. I think about the story of Joseph, not Jesus' earthly father, but Joseph of the Old Testament, this kid was a dreamer, man. He knew he was going to be something. He really, you know, was a born leader, and the fact is he was from a big family, and the rest of his family didn't like that. His brothers didn't like him, because Joseph's like, man, I'm going to be a leader. I got these dreams. I'm going to be big stuff. And his brother says, you're a cocky little punk, and we're going to get rid of you. That's what they thought of it. And so they take him, they throw him in a pit. They're going to just, you know, and they're going to kill him, but they can't do it, so they sell him off into slavery. And Joseph ends up, you know, going from the pit to being a man of integrity who finds himself falsely accused, then finding himself in prison, to then finding himself second in charge in Egypt. I mean, just this, you talk about a roller coaster. You know, some of us can understand what it's like to be up and down in life. Joseph was a great example. He lived an up and down life, but he lived it with integrity. And God took all those things up and down and brought him through all of those things to eventually have a plan to use him to save Israel, to save his family, and to be just this incredible piece of God's story. And think about that. Have you ever felt like you're in the pit? You ever felt like you were in prison? You ever felt like you were the outcast and were no good? Well, Joseph understood that. And so when you feel like those things, if you're following God and you're doing your best to live your life the way that he wants to do, you need to understand he was with you, and he may have been taking you through those things to get you to a place where he could use you greatly. Now, I'm not talking about making bad choices. Sometimes we want to make bad choices, and we just want to live our lives however we want, and then we just want God to do something really miraculous and use it and do some great things, and he can do that. But let me just tell you, if you're just living your life however you want, it's going to be a lot harder to be able to see his plan working in your life. We want to be on his plan. We want to do everything that we can to live our lives with integrity and with biblical standards so that he can use us and take the tough things, the troubles that are still going to come along in life, and use those in a great way to put us where he wants us and to see his plan come through. He was with Joseph, and he is with us. Genesis 29, when we hear the story of Joseph, it says, you know, we look at all that and says, where was God when he was in the pit? Where was God when he was in prison? Where was God when all these things were going on? Well, here's what it says in Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was what? He was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He was right there with him in the prison. He was with him. And that's where he was. And you look back at your own life, many times you'll just look back and you'll say, there he was. He was working. And he was with us. I remember, I look back over my life, but I look at so many things. I look at us as a church. And I look back when there was East Albemarle Baptist, who was meeting over in what is now our student annex, and they were meeting over there. And then there was this church called High Rock that came along, and God brought the two of us together, and it went from about 25 people to about 100 people, and then it kind of grew from there. And I'm like, where was God? He was there. He was the one doing these things to make things happen. He was the one working together for us to have influence on this corner. He was already using East Albemarle, but then he just brought a bunch of us along to be part of that and to continue to do the work. He was there in the midst of all of that. I bet if you go and ask some of those East Albemarle folks, and some of them are here, if you go and ask them, they were asking for God to be with them. They were asking for God to do things in their life. Pastor Eddie and I have had some great conversations about the prayers they were praying. And God was the whole time in all of that was moving along to bring us to where we are today, because we went through, you know, the merger to High Rock, and then again, it looked like things were going to fall apart. And then along comes, you know, here we are, you know, kind of reborn as you are a community church, and God's still doing some great stuff, y'all. Where was he? He's right in the middle of all of those crazy things to get us to where we are today. And we can't take that for granted, and we can't stop looking for what he wants to do next, because he is with us. He was with us then, and he's with us today. I think about a few years ago, or just a couple years ago, when there was a young couple from our church who lost twins unexpectedly. Prior, they were born premature, and they lost them. Like, where was God in all that? Well, he was right in the middle of that. And here they are this year celebrating with brand new baby boy. I think about another young couple who's tried to conceive and just disappointment after disappointment. And where was God in all the disappointment? Well, he was right there. And now here they are expecting their first baby this year. It's going to be amazing to watch it. It's going to be a celebration, isn't it? It's going to be a great time to be able to celebrate that with them. Think about where we were just a few years ago, where I was a few years ago. I think about my own life. You know, 25 years ago this Christmas, I was celebrating my very first Christ-filled Christmas. See, I'd had a bunch before that, but they had been Christless. I had just kind of gone through the motions. I'd sung all the songs, and I had opened the presents, and I had done all the, you know, I'd gone and been in all the Christmas plays, and I'd done all that stuff. But 25 years ago, in 1990, God brought this kid who thought he had the world by the tail, and he showed him what it really meant to understand Emmanuel, that God was with me. And I gave my life to him and invited him in and been able to experience Christmas totally different. Listen, if you don't celebrate Christmas differently after you've accepted him in your life, you're missing out. Because now you know who he is, and you should understand what it's really all about. That it's about having this God come to earth, willing to send his son Jesus to die on a cross to pay the price for your sins. That the baby born wasn't just for a baby, but it was a man who was going to be hung on a cross and give his life on that cross to pay the prices of the sins of all mankind, who would give his life there, be buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later be raised again to new life, to be raised up so that you and I could put our faith and trust in what he had done for us, and now understand that by accepting his sacrifice, accepting that he paid the debt, and accepting him into our heart and life, now we could have that relationship with God we were always meant to have and spend forever with him. See, Christmas can't just stop with a birth. It's got to go all the way to the death of Christ, to the resurrection, and to all eternity. It's more than just a baby in a manger. And as a believer in Christ, we get to celebrate that. We get to celebrate all of that in its fullness. Christmas should mean more than just gifts, and it should mean more than just candy in a sock. It ought to mean something more to us. Here's the third thing. God's with us, he was with us, and God will be with us. He will be with you. God will be with you no matter what you go through. He'll be there with you. I think about Mary. Here she is, and this angel comes and makes this announcement to her, tells her what's going to happen. And can you imagine what she was thinking at the moment? That, yeah, God's with me. But what if she could have looked into the future? And she could have seen the fact that Joseph was going to be faced with this and not be able to, and it was going to take another angel to tell him what he should do to be part of it. That they were going to have to get and ride a donkey 100 miles to a place where there was no room for them to stay. What do you think she would have thought about that? What do you think she would have thought about the fact that she would see this baby born next to the cows and the sheep and everything else, have to lay him in the manger, and then later on to see him grow into this young boy who would begin to ask spiritual questions and begin to teach spiritual things. That this young boy who would grow up and eventually begin his own ministry, who would then perform a miracle of changing water into wine, and then countless miracles after that, who would then be this man who, this baby who grew up to this man who would then be hung on that cross, and she would have to watch him breathe his last breath. What do you think Mary would have thought if she could have looked ahead and seen all of those things happening? I always wonder what it would be like, what her thoughts would be. And I got to believe, because of what the angel said to her, when he said, God is with you, I believe, this is what I believe, that she would have been able to look at that, and by knowing that God is with her, she would have been able to say, God will be with me. If God's willing to do this, surely he's willing to go through that too. Surely he's willing to be with me through all of those things. That God would be with her. And Mary would have said that God would be there, would have watched all of that with her, and would have brought her through all of those things because he promised that he would be with her. That he is, that this baby would be Emmanuel, that he would be God with her, and that God himself would be there in the midst of all of it. That she would have known and been able to know that nothing could come between her and him. I believe that young girl believed that because of the way that God looked at her. I'm sure it would have been difficult. I'm sure there were moments where she wondered about it, but I believe she would have known. And so for you and I believe that we, because we have the promise that God is with us, that we can take on the promise that he will be with us, that he will be there. Here's what Paul says. I love the way he puts it. Romans 8, verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who will? Will tribulation? Will trouble or problems? Will distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Can any of that separate us from him? Verse 37. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. No. In all these things. He didn't even hesitate. He didn't say maybe not. Possibly not. No, he said no. None of that can separate us because in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that doesn't make you get crazy and excited, I'm telling you, that ought to make us all jump for joy. If you have any intentions on yelling for those Panthers today, that ought to make you go nuts. I'm just telling you. Because that's good stuff. That's it. Nothing. There's nothing that's left out of all of that that can separate us. If we have a relationship with him, if we've understood that Jesus died on that cross and paid the price for us, that he is with us, that he came, died on the cross, was buried and raised again, and we've accepted it and understood it. Listen, I'm telling you, nothing can separate us. Now, does that mean that we just, I'll just go live my life any way I want then because nothing. I like that, Ron. Thank you. No. You need to understand. Because of that, we ought to do everything we can to live our lives the way the rest of the book says we should live it. Now there's a challenge there. Because we can't just do whatever and just say, oh, nothing will separate us. Well, that's true. But the reality is if we want to understand and live fully the life that this baby came for, to be for everything that he would do for us, then listen, we need to understand that we need to live our lives as if nothing in the world is worth even taking a chance on it separating us. I mean, we got to understand that. And that means, that, listen, we're all going to fall. I'm just going to be straight up with you today. Yesterday, I lost my mind. I really did. I was telling Pastor Eddie because I had to confess it to him because I'd already confessed it to the Lord, but I was just sharing with him because I'm like, you know, Satan's been messing with me. And it was road rage. I'm just going to be straight up. It was, you know, if you ride a Harley, I love you, but I'm telling you that guy on the Harley yesterday, I don't know that I love him as much. I'm just telling you. Because one, he scared the death out of me, and two, I could have killed him. Yes, before and after. But anyway, the reality is that sometimes we just make mistakes and we lose our, you know, where we're at, and we lose what's going on around us. We just make mistakes, and we're going to do that. And bigger than making mistakes, because that's how we like to soften it, listen, we're going to sin. We're going to commit things totally against God's character. But the reality is that Jesus says that he's with us when we accept him and we know that he has paid the price for our sins. Though we make mistakes, we confess it, and we know that it's done. And if you've never accepted him for the first time, that you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then listen, I'm telling you that when you make that decision, that nothing is going to separate you, that he will be with you, he is with you, and he was with you, and he is there. And when you accept him, he's your Savior, and he's the one when you do make mistakes and you do lose your mind and get mad or whatever it may be that you do, that you can, that he's there, and you can confess it to him, and then you can be healed of it and move on. And you know what? You know what the difference about, I hope, for me yesterday versus, you know, where I was then? My prayer is that I learn, that I really truly understand and learn that God, you know, is that forgiving God. I know it without a doubt. I know that he forgives me, and that I won't lose my mind again like that. See, that's the difference. That's the repentance part, because I understand what God accepts and doesn't accept. And so I want to repent of it. I want to change my mind, go a different direction, and now live my life knowing that God is with me, that he was with me, and that he will be with me in the future. So I don't have to choose the wrong thing. I can choose the right thing because he's right there in the middle with me. Now, today I ask you that, you know, have we ever prayed the prayer, God, be with me? You know, be with us as we do this. Be with us as we go there or do that. Now you can pray that prayer saying, God, I'm thankful that you're with us. God, I don't have to ask you to be here. God, I know you're here. And God, I can trust you. Even though things may not go exactly like I want them to go, that God, I know that you're here and they're going to go your way. See, O come, Emmanuel. O come, God, be with us. You're here. He is with us. He was with us, and he will be with us. So this morning, here's how I want us to pray. If you just close your eyes, every eye closed, every head bowed, just want you to, I want this to be between you and God. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's worried about somebody else, that we're focused on ourselves. First this morning, if you're here and you know you've never accepted him into your life as your Savior, you never accepted the fact that he gave his life to pay the price for your sin, and that he gave his life on a cross, was buried and raised again so that you could have your sins paid for. If you've never made a decision to accept that for yourself and to accept him as your Savior, then I'm going to ask you right now to make that decision, to pray and just to ask him to forgive you of your sin, to acknowledge the fact that he is God's Son, that he died on a cross to pay the price for all of our sins, and for your sin as you pray, that he was buried in a tomb and on the third day was raised again. But today you understand that as fact, that you know that for yourself, that your sin has been paid for and that your Savior lives, and that you accept him as that. And this is the moment I want you to do that right now. For those of us in the room who've made that decision, but we've been living our lives as if God isn't with us, that he hasn't been with us and that he won't be with us, then listen, it's time to confess our sin. It's time to repent, change our mind, change our direction, and understand who he is, who he truly is and wants to be in your life, and begin to live your life as if he is there with you. Because now you know he is. God, for those in the room today who are making decisions to live their lives the way that you purpose them to live. God, we all were born with a purpose. God, that first purpose was to have a relationship with you. And by accepting Jesus, we restore ourselves into that relationship. We allow that relationship to be mended and to be made whole again. God, it's not by what we do that's done. It's by what your son Jesus has already done. God, we just accept it and allow it to happen in our lives. But God, we're made whole with you. God, the next purpose is to make you known. And so for those of us that have accepted you but never understood the reality of you with us, then God, I pray right now that they would ask forgiveness and be repentant of just knowing that they've lived their lives on their own and not with you in charge. God, for those of us in the room that just need to make a decision to live our lives fully devoted to you and sold out to who it is that you want us to be, God, I pray in these moments we would make that decision. God, for those that are hurting in the room today, I pray that you would make yourself very known to them. Whatever the cause of that hurt is, whatever cause of that loneliness is, whatever the cause of that feeling of nobody's there, God, I pray you'd make yourself known to them today. God, I believe as we close out this year of 2015 and we prepare for a brand new year, that God, that you want to do something great in us today. God, you don't want to wait till next year. You want to do something today. So God, I pray that as we leave this place, that we don't leave the same, that we let you be God and let you move in our lives the way that you want to move. God, for some of us, that means we're going to have to change some things. It means we're going to have to live our lives differently. But God, because of you being there with us, one, we can do it, and two, our lives will be so much fuller because we'll be where you want us to be. God, today I pray that you'll just have your way in our lives. God, that you'd break down walls, you'd break down whatever it is that needs to be moved out of the way so that we can fully be all that you want us to be. And we pray.